I do appreciate your prayers. I'm going to try to deliver a word to you that the Lord gave me many, many months ago. And it's just been turning around in my spirit, and I just need to deliver it. I am a warning person. I'm one of those friends, if you don't want the truth, please don't come and ask me. And if I'm quiet, you need to just let me be quiet. There's basically two types of people in your life. There are those who participate with you in things they should not. They cheer you on in life while you're making crazy decisions. And when you get to the bridge out ahead, they express their condolences. It's easy to be that kind of friend. Less confrontation, less accountability. Let's just roll together and have fun. And oh my God, you went off a cliff and I'm so sorry you did. Then there are those who warn you of things to come. And they tell you there's a bridge out ahead in your life, you better change your course. Now if you have one of those people in your life, let me just say this way, if you don't have one of those people in your life, I want to ask you why not? Unfortunately, the majority of people choose to avoid tough conversations. We choose to avoid accountability. And we choose to hang in the moments and the things that feel good. The Bible does say there's pleasure in sin for a season. But I'm going to show you the end of that season today. The fact is, your life moments matter. Your daily choices shape your future. You cannot afford to be crazy tomorrow. You cannot afford to do stupid one more day. If you don't set boundaries in your life, the enemy will continually bring chaos into your life. You may be a good person. You may be a believer. You may be a Christian. But if you don't set proper boundaries in your life, he will deal chaos in your life every day. You'll find yourself just praying through every valley and praying over every mountain, and you'll find the mountains get higher and higher. And the chaos just swirls like a circus. I remember being in the hospital waiting room with a family many, many years ago. And there were more spirits in that family than I could shake a stick at. And I just raised, and there was a thing that came and sat beside of me, supposed to be a minister, and he began telling me how beautiful I was. And I'm like, you are a piece of trash. Please go across to the other side of the room. I smiled and just repositioned my body as his arm was around me. And I'm like, baby, I don't belong to you. Get your arm from around me. I'm not flattered. I was cordial and cool. But I looked up at the ceiling in that room, and I saw a circus. Merry-go-rounds, monkeys swinging. It was a picture of the spirits in that family. See, you have to know what the enemy, and they were, quote, believers. Accountability is always the right answer. I said to you a few days ago, what we don't purge, God will prune. Now, purging is hard for some people. If you're a person who thinks you're going to use it later, you can't purge. Now, if you're a hardcore purger, you will purge some things and have to go repurchase them. Any hardcore purgers in the house? There's a few hardcore purgers. We're in the minority. But if I have to go repurchase it, you will never know. But I have learned in your spiritual life, if we don't purge some things out, God brings the pruning shears out. And it's easier for us to purge than deal with his pruning. Colossians 1:28 says, we proclaim him, warning and instructing everyone in all wisdom, that is, with comprehensive insight into the word and purposes of God, so that we may present every person complete in Christ. Mature, everybody say ouch. Fully trained, everybody say ouch. And perfect in him, the anointed. That's his goal. That's his purpose for your life, to be mature, fully trained, and perfect in him. You say, well, I don't think that's possible. Well, the Bible says, be ye perfect as I am perfect. So if it wasn't possible, why would he give you that mandate? So whatever you're not working on, he's going to. Discernment is not optional. I want to talk to you about four words. Discernment is the first one. Distraction, deviation, and destruction. Discernment is the most positive thing I'm going to talk to you about today. It is not optional. It is required. If you're going to survive this world, you have got to have discernment. Or you're just in a circus. He just runs you around trees. He tosses you about with every wind. Your life is up one day and down the next. What is discernment? It's an act or process of exhibiting keen insight and good judgment. Sometimes I feel like Bill Cosby. I want to say, was your head with you when you made that decision? Did you look in the mirror before you went out in those clothes? Did you think about before you went out with that person? Did you contemplate what your conversation at the water fountain at work was going to turn into? Good judgment. To distinguish good from evil, to examine, prove, or test. Luke 12, 54 through 56 says, he said to the crowd, there's always a crowd. Church has a crowd. When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it's going to rain. And it does, unless you realize that Mother Nature and all her hormones are upset. So one day she's supposed to rain and she doesn't. Last Saturday, Mother Nature went to about 60-something degrees and back down to 24 last Saturday night. That's a mood swing, folks. The earth is moody right now. It's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say it's going to be hot, and it is. Hypocrites, he said. You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time or this present choice you're about to make or this present relationship or this present job you're seeking after? See, discernment is different than the gift of discernment. Now, if you're born a female, you're just born with the equipment to discern. Please don't embarrass us females by not discerning. You know, if you got a mama, and everybody's got a mama, whether you like her or not, I don't care what they say you can have or you have not, or you can be that and be that. I'm sorry. You have to have the equipment to birth a baby. And it takes a certain formula to get it together to birth one, to make one. So just call me old school. But I won't even go there. I'm just going to keep it straight in the middle of the lane. That's another message another day for everybody who don't understand who they are. But if you have a mama and she happens to have the Holy Ghost, please don't think you can get by with anything. You're just not that sharp. Because what you don't tell her, the Lord will wake her up in the middle of the night and tell her. You know, all of my life, I have heard Rita from my parents. Because I was born with a razor-sharp ability to see a thing. And when you're a preacher's kid, you're sitting around your dinner table, and you see your dad's members, and you know what they're doing. And I would hear my name because I was saying what they were thinking and what they had said in their bedroom. They just weren't saying it in front of the kids. You call that the gift of discernment. It's more, see, everybody, every believer should have discernment. You should be able to judge good from evil. We're in a day where it's just the opposite. Evil is called good, and good is called evil. If we talk about the Bible, we're accused of hate crimes. But the gift of discernment is more than distinguishing food from evil. I need you to enroll in the School of Roar so we can dive into this. The gift of discernment is the discerning of spirits. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. According to 1 Corinthians 12:10, it's to understand or know something through the power of the Spirit. If you have the gift of discernment, it includes perceiving the true character of people. All of my life, in my adult life, I have thought how nice it would be to walk into a room and see nothing. Just go to the reception and go to the party and just don't see nothing in the room. I don't have that privilege. I sense things about characters. And you need to pray for the gift of discernment. The gift of discernment helps detect hidden error in others. It reveals hidden error in ourselves. Also, the gift of discernment will help you perceive the good that's been concealed in somebody, or the good that's been concealed inside of you. The gift of discernment means you learn to think biblically. Now, there's one. Discernment is an area where most Christians stumble, unfortunately. We must now, more than ever, be prepared to strongly oppose non-biblical thoughts and actions. Now, more than ever, it's being challenged. And you can't straddle the fence. You can't be either or. You can't be this way one day and the other way the next day. You've got to choose. The line has been drawn. Where do you stand? Discernment is always connected to spiritual growth. Hebrews 5:14 says, solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. I like what Charles Spurgeon said. He was one of those discerning ministers. Discernment is not a matter of simply telling the difference between right and wrong. Rather, it's telling the difference between right and almost right. That's where believers stumble, right there. Because we allow our emotions to become stronger than our discernment. We allow our feelings to guide us rather than our discernment. It's not a matter of discerning right and wrong. It's a matter of discerning what's almost right. The line has been drawn. You will be tested. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 through 22 says, but test all things carefully. Vet all of your relationships carefully. Vet who you work for, who you work with carefully. Vet who you're dating before you move in and live with that disaster. See, us little believers just believe, oh, we can do more than the Holy Spirit. No, baby, you can't. And you can't change a thing that's not willing to change. And if they're not willing to change while you're dating them, please run. In fact, why don't you have enough discernment not to even go out on the first date? Test all things carefully so you can recognize what is good. Hold firmly to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. If it looks like it, if it smells like it, you know, if it looks like a duck and waddles like a duck, it's probably a duck. Withdraw and keep away from it. Why do you keep losing your mind? Why? See, your enemy is discerning. He watches you. He knows your weakness. He knows your point where he can stab you. And he's a specialist in keeping you bound to a certain way of thinking and living. He's a master at it. So when we're wobbling around in our lives, he stays on course. The enemy has one agenda: to steal, kill, and destroy you. And we're hot one day and cold the next. He likes it when you do that, because he's got you right where he wants you. He doesn't care how high you jump in this sanctuary today, how much you raise your hands. What are you going to do tonight by midnight? What are you going to watch when you get home? What do you fill your mind with this week? He's watching you. He's a specialist. See, we lap the same mountain season after season after season. But we think it's a new thing because it's new faces going around the mountain with us. Boy, y'all are quiet. I don't know where Pastor is today. Truth hurts, doesn't it? See, we lap the same mountain, and because it's in another season, and we see some new weeds growing by the sidewalk, we think it's a new season. No, you're just lapping the same mountain. Marriage 3, 4, 5. Failure 4, 5, and 6. Job 8, 9, and 10. We lap the same mountain because we refuse to change. So the enemy, here's how it all starts. If you don't have discernment and you don't live with discernment, the enemy uses the tool of distraction very effectively. He's good at it. And I want you to know, he hates this message. He has fought me over this, and I'm just here to serve notice on him. He's done. I'm calling him out. I'm marking him today. What is distraction? Something that makes it difficult to pay attention. Something bright and blingy in those tight-fitting jeans with ripped abs. And it ain't your husband. It's that thing you're watching on your television screen or your computer screen. And she's in a tight skirt and it ain't your wife. She's not the mother of your kids. But you're sitting there entertaining thoughts with the enemy that you ought to send back to hell where they came from. You're coddling that bottle of liquid that will cause you to lose your mind. You're snorting stuff up your nose. You're putting stuff in your veins that will turn demons loose in your life. Draws attention away from familiar or everyday concerns. Distractions are agitating and can bring confusion. But here's what the Bible says: your life depends on what you hear. Mark chapter 4, 23 through 25 says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear and heed or do my words. Then he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. What are you allowing into your life gates? Your eye gates, your ear gates. What are you allowing into the gate of your soul? What are you selling your soul for? The next high that you only get one time? Y'all have reason to shout here in just a minute. By your own standard of measurement, that is, to the extent that you study spiritual truth and apply godly wisdom, it will be measured to you. And you'll be given even greater ability to respond. He's just promised you, if you will study and train your mind and discipline and purge your own life, he will add to your life the ability to do that. And more will be given to you besides. For whoever has a teachable heart, to him more understanding will be given. And whoever does not have a yearning for truth, even what he has will be taken away from him. Wow. There's parts of the Bible y'all have not read. They're just not pleasant. It's not a feel-good moment, is it? Distraction leads to drifting spiritually. Hebrews 2, verse 1 says, We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. You know that you can start drifting in your spiritual life and never realize it till you hit a rock? Especially us church folk. We come to church and we're greeting and we're wiping the bathroom counters, doing what we're supposed to do in the house of God. We're singing on the front line. We're raising our hands, but we've let some things slack in our personal lives. And all of a sudden, our boat hits a rock. We start realizing we're in shallow water, and the bottom of the life of our boat is just scraping bottom. Because it's easy to drift. We need to check up. What have we stopped doing lately? See, we're in a war. Whether you like it or not, you've been drafted, whether you like it or not. When you said, you are my Lord and Savior, you signed up for the war. Your only other choice besides the war is to go to hell. There's your good word. But if he is your Lord and Savior, he equips you to win. The battle is his. So why do we make it all about us? So distraction is a very effective tool of the enemy. But distraction leads to deviation. We start doing things that we would not normally do. There's a negative shift in our life. There's a change in our standards. And when that accountability friend comes to you and says, hey, I'm seeing some things that have shifted, then you get offended and you change your friendships, you change your church, you change your job, you change your marriage partner. And I don't have time to teach you about offense today, but the goal of offense is to pull you away from everything that you call yours. Because of an offense. But an offense is baggage you have not dealt with in your past. And it rises up again. See, you may have come to this church from another church. Most of you did. Some of you may have been saved off the streets. But some of y'all have been around the church long enough, you've been at another church. Whatever offended you at the last church, if it hadn't got you yet, it'll get you here. Because that spirit chases you. And that spirit knows your weakness. So it will cause somebody to say something and you'll hear it totally different. Somebody will send you a text. Sometimes texting is great, but sometimes when you start trying to read the tone into a text, shut the text down and pick up the phone and call somebody. Have a face-to-face conversation so you can see their heart and see their mind and know how they feel about a thing. You don't need to have any long discussions via text. None. Did you know that your pastor had a person in this church asked him to break up with his fiance with him via text? Who wanted pastor to break up with her? That did not happen. Pastor just said, grow yourself up and you break that thing up if you're going to break it up. I'm not breaking it up for you. Galatians 5, 16 and 17 says, so I say, walk by the Spirit. And if you do, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit desires what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. So you are not to do whatever you want. There it is. In plain English. See, because distractions lead to deviation. And when you start deviating from what the Word of God says, you're in trouble. Now, here's one you have probably not read lately. We talk about the grace and mercy of God, and that is as real as you are sitting here. But the grace of God teaches you how to live right. It's not a license how to live close to the edge. 1 Corinthians 5, 12 through 13. It's a tough one. It isn't my responsibility to judge outsiders, but it certainly is your responsibility to judge those inside the church who are sinning. Y'all didn't even know that was in there, did you? God will judge those on the outside. But as the scriptures say, you must remove the evil person from among you. Y'all had never read that, had you? When I stumbled across that, I thought, whoo, that's hard. That's why in this house, anybody can attend this church. One and all are welcome. But when you sign up for leadership, the standards change. Don't you get on this platform and be sleeping around, drinking around, or drugging around, or living some other kind of way. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. And see, I'm a preacher's kid and a preacher's wife. I have zero tolerance for preachers who can't keep their acts together. I have no tolerance. None. You're supposed to be closer to the God than the people that you're leading. So all the scandals in the body of Christ, I have no compassion. None. I'm like, get them, God. Get them. Expose them. Get them, God. I have no compassion. I'm sorry. I hope they get their life right, but get out of the pulpit. Get out of in front of the people. Get out. Quit making the rest of us look bad. Quit sleeping around with your leadership. And it happens right here in this city. I have known pastors, I could give you their names and addresses, who had an affair with a woman and paid for her boob job. And she sat on the front row of his church while his wife was there. Let me just say, that won't ever happen here. If it ever happens here, pastor will not be here. There won't be no board. There won't be no correction necessary. That thing will be dealt with in a private meeting. If he comes out with breath in his body, he'll be fortunate. See, because I got folks in my life working on their testimony. I can hire a gun. I'm teasing. Standards are necessary. There is, when you are called to preach and live the word of God, you better do so. Stop playing. So when I found that verse of scripture, I'm like, oh, Jesus, that's tough. I almost left it out. But I didn't. I thought y'all might want to know what's in there. Pay attention to what you pay attention to. Who are you allowing to speak into your life? Where are you spending your time? Who are you spending time with? Have you vetted your life team lately? I know the trend, you know, you got to swipe left or swipe right and you meet everybody online, but you better vet a thing, because online dating is like booking a hotel online. You can get good pictures. It can look sharp and clean and well-groomed, well-put-together, and you drive up in the driveway, you're like, what is this? That's online dating. You better get on your face before God and find you a mate, or live by yourself, single and delivered. There's too many predators out there trying to ruin your life. So let me just, you know, anybody can Photoshop themselves. There's apps you can put on your phone. We have programs on our church computers. We can make you look. Your waist can go in. Your hips can be bigger. Your face can be wrinkleless. But when they meet you in person, it's like, who are you? You better vet who's on and who you let into your life. Who needs to leave your life right now? What are you tolerating? What you allow into your life will change how you do life. 1 Peter 5:8 says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion. Underline like. He is not, but he convinces you that he is. He is an imitator. He is the dude that got his tail kicked out of heaven. Please understand that. But there was one third of the angels who were as foolish as the body of Christ. How? I don't understand how you are in heaven in all of this glory and splendor, and this one angel, this one created being, convinces you to have a revolt against God, the Creator. It's that same angelic demon that's convincing you to defy him in your life. But it actually happened. So the enemy, Satan, and one third of the angels got kicked out. How? God, if I ever make it to heaven, please don't want to get kicked out. If I ever do make it, I'm staying. But that's how powerful deception and narcissism is. The enemy became a narcissist. He wanted to be like God. See, when the enemy came to Eve in the garden, he said, "You can be like God." He's denying this from you. Go ahead and have a bite. Take this apple. So she took it to the man who was already in love with her. Another whole message. Neither one of them have enough spiritual fortitude to stand up and serve the God that created them. I don't know if they made it to heaven or not, but I'd like to have a conversation with Eve. Like a snake came to you. Who wants to talk to a snake? And Adam, could you not have enough gumption to look in her face and say, "I love you"? That's wrong. Family fell apart right then. This is why, 2 Corinthians 11:14, even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. That man that just put his arms around your shoulder. That girl that just fluttered her eyelashes at you. Those thoughts that you don't run out of your head. They look like thoughts of light. And it looks like a good thing because the enemy disguises himself as an angel of light. A new season. They did you wrong. Walk away. Don't work it out. Don't be accountable. Those rules are too much. And you fall prey to his trap. And he'll treat you good for a season. As the old Southern gospel song says, it'll take you further than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay. Talking about sin. So deviation leads to destruction. What is destruction? An act or process of damaging something so badly that it no longer exists. Cannot be repaired. It's in ruins. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goes before destruction." See, when we're offended, you better watch your pride. We all have to watch it. Because the major tool of offense is pride. They did you wrong. They talked about you. An offense will cause you to hear things that were not said, cause you to believe things that were never true. And you just jump from one thing to another. And as I said before, if you came here from another church and you dealt with stuff, I promise you, you'll find it. That spirit will find you. It will chase you down. You may be here 8 or 10 years and here it'll show up. A haughty spirit goes before a fall. This pastor likes to say, "You ain't my mama." And all of us have to deal with a haughty spirit. None of us like correction. Do you know if you correct yourself, he won't have to correct you? If you have a self-disciplined child, you don't have to correct them. I learned a long time ago as a preacher's kid, I didn't like correction. I remember many, many years ago, I was a teenager. We had a regional meeting at my dad's church. So dad was not preaching, somebody else was. So his eyes were on the stage. Back in the day when you had the big king's chairs on the stage, you know. And I saw his eyes. I was at the back of a building with a guy I had been dating. We were passing notes and pictures and just having a party. It was a boring church service. I was almost at the back of a long, 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 large sanctuary. But I always had discernment. I knew something in the room had shifted. I saw Dad's eyes look at my mother on the front. And when I saw those eyes look at her, I thought, my butt is fried. I knew it. There was over 1,000 people in that room, and I knew my tail was fried right then. You know, she didn't come sit with me. She walked up that long aisle. It took her 5 years to get up that aisle. Bron, she didn't come sit with me. She came and sat in front of me, wiggled in, and said, made me get up and move and sit with her. Let me tell you something. That happened twice. It's first and it's last time. This child is not the dumb child in the family. She never had to correct me that way again, ever. I left some of my friends and decided to sit in different places. Now, I won't tell you that one of my friends I was dating, he dug the guts of his cast out in church. They were going to cut it off the next day, and he took a metal file and dug his cast out all day. You can do things in church. Back in that day, when you're in pews and the sanctuary was long, you know, and everybody was up front, you could get by with more. You can't get by with a whole lot now, not in these chairs. You just better be careful, because there's eyes on you. Your choices can bring destruction. Maybe you haven't read this verse in a while or ever. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19 says, there are 6 things the Lord hates. No, 7 things he detests. Do you know there's some things he detests? He detests haughty eyes, your lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent, a heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who sows discord in a family. You better deal with your family dysfunction. Draw the lines. Draw the boundaries. Let it go to voicemail. Stop the altercations verbally in your family. Some folks will never, ever change. Block them on social media. Because all you do is lay in bed at night and you try to figure out what they're doing. And all it does is bring horror to your soul. Sorrow and grief to your soul. Quit wasting God's energy and his oxygen in your life by following that mess. Block them and go on and live your life. They know where you are if they want to apologize. There comes a time to place a thing in God's hands and stop praying about it. We act like God is weak sometimes. We go back into our prayer closet day in and day out. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. You know. Yes, he knows. You've told him for 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. You've told him. Don't demean the intelligence and power of God. At some point, you put it at his feet. So this is my heart. This is my heart's cry. I'm going to lay it at your feet. No longer will it keep me up at night. No longer will I lose my mind during the day thinking about this. I'm putting this in your hands. And in your time, you will deal with it. Because here's the truth. If you could have changed it, you would have already changed it. And all the enemy does is keep you swirling in conflict with it. So that sounds hard. No, I'm trying to get you some peace in your house. I'm trying to get you where you can go to sleep at night. How much do you trust God? Put it in his hands and let God do what God does. It may not be on your time clock. It may be never, because it depends on what that person allows, how much they want to change. So stop depressing yourself in your prayer closet. Give it to God. Give your children to God. Give your marriage to God. Give your future to God. Matthew 7, 13 through 14. Enter through the narrow gate. Wow. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. According to that scripture, I'm not sure heaven's going to be overpopulated. I hope it is. I really do. But our choices matter. Here's how I want to end this message. There's a bridge out ahead. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. I'm begging you, church, live accountable. Live accountable. Get in this book and live this book, and you will find light and life and breakthrough and blessing and promotion and provision like you have never known before. Never known before. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Here's where I wanted to get to. I told you I'd give you something to shout about. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. So no matter what battle you are in, no matter what stage of this message that you are in, you may have just been distracted for a moment. Turn around and go back to discernment. You may have been deviating from what you know is right. Turn back and go back to discernment. You may find yourself in some destructive situations. It's never too late with God. What the enemy means for evil, God will always turn it for your good. Always turn it for your good. Always. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. That's why you don't have to keep asking God and asking God and asking God. He's given you a weapon called prayer and agreement. Give it to him and watch God. See, we keep taking it back. We pray about it and we take it back. We pray about it and we take it back. We pray about it and we try to work it out. I'm as guilty as you are. On the contrary, our weapons have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive. God's not going to take your thoughts captive. You're going to have to take them captive. Every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And here's how we do that. I want you to say this with me. Let the words of my mouth, watch that. Just watch that one thing you just said. Let the words of my life, of my mouth, the thoughts that become words. Let's go. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What is he saying? What are we saying to him? Let the very words of my life and the very things that I think about, the things that I pay attention to, the things that I meditate on, watch what you meditate on. We need to block some stuff out. There's some movies you don't need to watch. I'm sorry. We've become very immune to language, to sex on the screen. It's just normal. It's not. It's lewd and perverse and ungodly. And you let that junk into your marriage, it will destroy your marriage. It will destroy it. Because what God ordained for marriage is holy. He didn't mean for us to sleep around and give our soul to just anybody. He created you for intimacy with him and one partner for life. And we've gotten it all messed up. He created you for intimacy with him and not intimacy with the enemy. And the enemy just dangles stuff in front of us, dangles people in front of us, dangles things in front of us. And we get so distracted because we're not grounded. God, help us to fall in love with you Help us to fall in love with you and to fall into commitment with you. For there is no life like the life you offer us. No life. There's no peace like the peace you offer us. There's no sanctuary like the sanctuary you offer us. So we give you our lives today, Father. In Jesus' name.